You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Very, very, should I say, popular topic these days. A lot of people are talking about it. I'm talking about the issue of trauma. All right. So this is a lady who's based in Namibia. Seems like we've been a little lucky with Namibian ladies lately, Namibian-based ladies, and they've been coming through to the show to share with us some very, very, very beautiful insights. So I've got the lady Agnes on the line. So allow me to say hi to her. Agnes, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How is it out there in Namibia?
It's quite, temperatures are very high. It's quite hot. The sun is scorching. But anyways, we love it. We love the heat.
Wow. Okay. They're loving the heat out there in Namibia. I don't know what the weather is like in your part of the world, wherever you're listening to us from. But however, so we got you coming through right here, Agnes, to tell us about this very, very, very important topic. That is trauma. But before we get into the topic, I guess a lot of people may just want to know this lady. Maybe if you can just tell us about yourself and what you do so that we can, just get on familiar ground, so to say.
Okay, no, definitely. Okay, so my name is Agnes Mulela Warner Mangena. Before anything else, I am a child of God, a child of the Most High King. I'm also a wife, a mother, and a teacher. I actually work with special needs kids. That's where my heart lies. I absolutely love working with children. I think it's a passion of mine. I actually just discovered it recently, but yeah. I guess that's where God wanted to plant me. So that's, in a nutshell, who Agnes is.
Thank you so much for giving us an overview of who you are. And now that we know who we're talking to, actually. So this subject, trauma, first of all, like I said, it's something that a lot of people have been talking about. You read social media, you find that a lot of people get to talk about trauma. It's a word that's being thrown around a lot these days. But I guess it can be quite confusing because issues to do with trauma, mental health, mental illness, we're getting bombarded, if I can say, with so much info at the same time. So some of these terms are becoming a little confusing. So if you're talking about trauma specifically, what is it? I think to just shorten it like that.
Okay, so yes, you're right. Actually, there's especially on social media, I think especially now, especially when we're getting equipped with a lot of technology and we're being exposed, there's a lot of information that we're getting about things we didn't know before. And issues we didn't know about before. So trauma is actually a topic that is also very close to my heart because I believe that growing up, we didn't have a lot of exposure to it or we didn't know a lot about it. Yes, there is a lot of definitions. It's actually a very broad, very, very broad and complex topic. However, trauma is actually just an umbrella term. It refers to any significant or distressing experience a person may go through in their life or as a child. Normally, trauma normally develops during our childhood because we're still small, we're still forming relationships, we're still trying to figure out so much more about ourselves. So when something significant happens in our life that generally alters our emotions or just disrupts us in a very significant way, it eventually leads to us having a traumatic experience or having trauma in our lives, which show up later in our lives as adults eventually.
Okay. So, like you're putting it across, it's something that is let me say, inserted in us at a very, very young age, right?
Yes, definitely. It starts from the grassroots because, you know, as children, there's so many things we're still learning about ourselves. We're learning about our environment. We're learning about building and fostering relationships with others. So when this basically is disrupted or distorted, it can have a significant impact on our development as children. And then later on in life, it has it can have a positive impact or a negative impact, which in the end, we refer to it as trauma.
Now that's interesting. So I guess one might just want to ask, like, what's the difference between trauma and stress? I guess everybody is very accustomed to the word stress, and also we might also want to add maybe another word like adversity. What's the difference between, let's say, trauma and stress, and maybe to some extent adversity, since, you know, you're saying that something might happen to you as a young person, and that affects, you know, your well-being, so to say, even as you are now in adult. So what's the difference there?
Okay, so basically stress is defined as our body's response to pressure. So an example I could give is, say for example, you've lost your job recently. Okay. It definitely puts you under a stressful situation. Or you say, for example, at work, you have a deadline that you have to meet and you haven't met that deadline. Obviously, it's going to put you under a lot of stress. Basically, stress is almost never really very harmful. But when it comes to when it comes to trauma, it's always very harmful, almost always very harmful. So it has a very negative implications. I'm not saying that stress does not have negative implications on us as human beings, but trauma really can paralyze you as a human. And then we have adversity. Adversity is immense struggle or suffering that you go through. If you basically go through consistent adversity, this can in the end lead to you having a trauma bond, a life, or being or experiencing trauma later in your life as an adult.
Well, that's a beautiful explanation there. But then I'm also thinking maybe it could work better with an example. Is there an example that you can give, let's say a practical example of what trauma is like?
Okay, so for me personally, growing up, I experienced a lot of bullying. A lot of bullying. This was on a daily basis, I would say, basically because I was just a person that was always in my shell. I wasn't really an outgoing person. So I would get bullied a lot at school. So this caused me to further go back into my shell and not be as open as I wanted to be. You know, the Bible says that the thief comes except to steal, kill, and destroy. So this is something that the devil also used. He knows that if you go through a traumatic experience, it's going to cause so much harm on you that you cannot flourish in the areas that God wants you to flourish in. So what happened to me was, like, I experienced bullying, and then I couldn't step out of my comfort zone. I couldn't create lasting friendships. I was always on my own. So that's an example of a traumatic experience that has followed me until now in my adulthood, because I still struggle to make really meaningful friendships because I have built basically a wall because I'm scared of the negativity that may come my way. Basically,
That's sad right there. That's sad. And of course, having you having shared the issue of bullying, quite common, really, especially, you know, these days we see a lot of it on social media and everything like that. However, I'm tempted to want to ask if there are any more should I say causes of trauma. You know, you've spoken about childhood experiences and things like that. Are there any other causes of trauma besides that?
No, definitely there are. Let's say, for example, if you go through abuse, This can also be as an adult. If you are abused, it can be in your relationship with your spouse or your significant other. It's going to cause a traumatic experience whereby you would not be open to any other relationship, or you are trauma bound to that person because that person probably uses negative words on you, and you just don't know how to come out of the relationship. Okay, another situation that may cause trauma, especially for adults, is also growing up in a household whereby a single parent household, especially. I grew up in a single parent household as well, especially a household where a father figure is not present. And then you have a single mother that consistently has to look after the children. She's stressed. She has so much on her plate that she has to deal with. And then later on, she shouts at the children, or she speaks in a voice that is not really pleasing to the children. And then the children don't even know how to come to the mother and just have a good relationship with her, talk to her, because she's carrying so much of the burden on her shoulders. So she doesn't know how to communicate to the children. Her way of communicating is shouting. Later, it causes trauma in the children. Also, just like you had mentioned, we are in the age of technology. We have a lot of social media. I would say also the pressure of societal pressure, especially in society, it is believed that at a certain age, you should be at a certain level. Or when you look back at your old classmates that you schooled with, probably they driving cars, they're living the good life, they're having all this. You know, you see pictures of them, you see pictures of them online, you know, they're traveling and all this. This can also somehow cause trauma in you because you're now comparing yourself to this people. You're comparing your lifestyle, you're looking at yourself and you're like, yo, I wish I could be where they are, basically. And now it's the spirit of comparison that you have within you now.
Well, I guess maybe as far as the last example is concerned, a lot of us are facing a lot of trauma here, because social media have been giving us a lot of pressure, man. You see your friends are flying all over the world. Some are learning in some, you know, some of the world's most, popular learning institutions. Some are doing great, man. They're getting married. They're doing very, very well. And you look at yourself, you're like, what is wrong with me? You know?
No, definitely. I believe we've all had situations like that where we've been like, yo, what's wrong with me? Is it not my time? You know, we want to push God's time. We want to push it.
Wow. Okay, so those are some of some very realistic or very common causes of trauma, you know, these days, like what you've been mentioning. You see, yeah, I think a lot of us are not immune to such things. Okay, so of course, you did mention a bit about how it can trauma can show up now, now that you are now an adult. Okay, so the way it occurs now as an adult is I think it's very, very critical, and we would want to know. Of course, you did give us one example. I think if you can know, how exactly does trauma show up now in your adulthood? Now you're a full grown man, but you don't realize that sometimes the way you react to certain things is because of traumas. Maybe if you can just shed some light into that.
Okay, this now becomes complex trauma because it hasn't been dealt with. Now, say for example, you're married or you're in a relationship now. Something happens between you and your spouse. You guys have an argument or you have a disagreement. How trauma would show up in that situation is you would basically just shut down. You shut down. You would not talk to your spouse because you do not have the tools of effective communication. You don't know how to communicate to your spouse in a proper way because in your childhood, you were shouted at. You couldn't communicate proper with your parents because they basically just shouted at you. They spoke over you. So that traumatic experience just causes you to shut down. You don't speak to your spouse for a week. You don't speak to your spouse for 2 weeks. And counting. And then also how it shows up, especially also in the work environment, is you avoid conflicts. And I'm also that type of person. I'm not removed from that as well. You basically avoid conflicts. Say, for example, you have a disagreement with someone at a co-worker. Now, instead of finding ways to come to solutions or just fixing the issue, you just avoid it. You avoid butting heads with anyone. And also, you don't make meaningful friendships. You're scared of abandonment. You're scared of being rejected. You're scared of you're scared of opening up to someone and then they reject you. Basically, that's how it shows up in us as adults.
Okay. Now, what you are talking about right there is getting me thinking because. I'm also looking at the issue of temperaments, Agnes. They say that there are certain people maybe who are just naturally, they just love to be in their own space. So I'm now beginning to feel like, how now do I differentiate between somebody who's just an introvert and then somebody who actually faced trauma when they were young? Yeah. That one is confusing me now.
Yeah, no, I think it will be confusing because just like you're saying, there are people that naturally just want to be there in their environment. Yes, it's introvert behavior. But then there are just certain behaviors that you will see. Just like I said, this person like totally shuts off. You know, an introverted person still communicates, they still talk, they can still go out. And, you know, they love their space. Yes, they do. They love being, they flourish in their space. They are basically people that, you know, you find them as their best selves when they are by themselves, basically. But when they're in a social setting or whatever, they still, you know, you can still see, no, this person is okay. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with someone that has trauma or whatever. But now for someone that has trauma, they are around people. But this person just shuts down. It's like someone that becomes like blank, totally blank. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I'm getting you. I'm getting you right there. And of course, the issue of relationships, you know, sometimes people act somewhat, should I say, weirdly, you know, and they act differently. And we don't realize that, no, it's an issue that was, should I say, triggered or inserted in them from a very, very, very young age. And yes, I think we need to be very, very careful, or should we say patient with people as well, from what I'm gathering here. So those are the inward stuff. I think this is something that you'll be holding inside of you. And then, of course, I'm now beginning to think, are there any physical symptoms or health issues, you know, related to trauma?
No, there are a lot, definitely. Someone that goes through trauma or, you know, like, can I just use myself as an example?
Yes, no problem at all.
Yeah, so I'm someone that when I'm relating this to now stress, I don't know if you've ever heard of like stress eating and all this. I'm someone, you know, they often, yeah, like physically, you know, gaining loads of weight. Sometimes some of them might lose, you know, a lot of weight because they're carrying all this burden on themselves. They have no one that they can talk to. They can no one that they can open up to as well. Yeah, basically.
Age. All right, now that's serious right there. Some very, very serious stuff. In case you're wondering what's going on, well, we are talking to the lady. Her name is Agnes, and she's giving us some information, vital information, actually, as far as the issue of trauma is concerned. It's a word that's being thrown around a lot these days, and I guess it's high time we get well versed into some of these things, and we know exactly what we're dealing with when we hear people talking about trauma. So Agnes, there's an issue of coping mechanisms also that is aligned, or I should say, that comes along when we're dealing with trauma. Okay, so So what kind of coping mechanisms do people often use, you know, to deal with trauma? And also we need to understand that these coping mechanisms, if they are there, are they effective, or even should we say, are they right to use, you know, in case you got some sort of a trauma that you have and some coping mechanism that you, you know, get yourself into?
Well, yes, there are a variety of coping mechanisms that people use. One of them being seeking therapy, which for me, I think it's a very good way of coping with your trauma. Basically, just talking about it, opening up about your traumatic experiences. Oftentimes, we think that shutting ourselves down or keeping quiet about the issue that we've been facing or have faced will make it better, but it doesn't, you know, remove the elephant from the room. It doesn't make the situation any better. So a lot of people these days, especially in our communities, have resorted or have turned to seeking help from therapists, just so that, you know, that little burden is lightened. And also another one that I've seen that helps a lot is a lot of people are now becoming invested in their health, going to the gym, keeping a healthy lifestyle. I think also it takes your mind off things when you're like when you are exercising and, you know, you're getting your blood flowing. But the best one for me basically is just, you know, coming and laying all your burdens before the cross. That is the best coping mechanism for me. You know, you take captive all of your thoughts and you make them subject to Christ Jesus. I think this is one of the things that has helped me so far. It has taken me from point A to point B, where point B is the better place, where I am currently in a better position now as far as my trauma, past trauma is concerned. So just laying everything at the cross, you know, you come to him and you just give him everything. You speak to the Lord and you just lay it all down in front of him. So that's one of the best coping mechanisms for me.
Well, that's interesting right there, and hopefully that at least that's an avenue that is open to everyone. Maybe not everyone can afford to see a therapist and see these trained people, but at least you know, having that spiritual connection can actually help you as an individual. So of course, the thing with trauma and things of this nature is that, of course, there is the issue of flashbacks, Agnes. And in case maybe you're trying so hard to lay all your burdens on the cross of Calvary, nice and fine. But now, if you are constantly or every now and then you are having flashbacks or triggers, now how do you handle that now, you know, as far as this issue of trauma is concerned?
Well, yes. Just like I said previously, I pray a lot. So when I see myself experiencing any flashback, I'm like, I quote scriptures and I'm like, I take captive all of my thoughts and I make them subject to Jesus Christ, because I'm taking that thought of negativity, that thought of trauma that has just crossed my mind, and I'm canceling it in the mighty name of Jesus. That's what I do personally when I have these flashbacks.
Somebody out there say amen to the sister, and you know, for at least making sure that you use the spiritual route, you know, to combat these types of things like flashbacks and triggers. And hopefully that you know, if you happen to face it wherever you are, you get to use the same trick that Agnes is talking about. So Agnes, the thing is this: so being an adult, you find that they say you want to break the cycle of trauma, especially if it's being passed down from generation to generation. You spoke about being in a single parent led home and things like that. So breaking down the cycle now, because sometimes it seems like it's a cycle. They say hurt people, you know what I mean. So now how do we break that cycle of trauma, especially in our families?
Okay, speaking about the cycle, actually, recently I had a conversation with my daughter. She had an event whereby she was around a lot of children, other children. And to my surprise, she actually had also experienced a bit of bullying. So I could relate very much to her, because that is also where my trauma stems from. So I felt really deep about it, because I could walk. I can actually empathize with her. I can walk in her shoes. So for me, it felt like the cycle is basically being repeated once again. So what I did is I spoke to her. She actually took a very long time before she told me, because I think it happened like last month or something like that. And she didn't tell me. She felt like she shouldn't tell me. So eventually yesterday, she decided to tell me about the incident that happened. And it's just like you saying, the flashbacks, it gave me flashbacks once again. So what I did was I affirmed her. That's what I did. I really affirmed her. I tried to make her feel like, you know, you are amazing. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. So whatever anybody else has to say about you does not matter. It does not define who God says you are. So breaking the cycle of of trauma, especially when it's related to like negative words, always hearing negative words or being shouted at. I believe so much in affirmations, affirming our children, making them realize, or always telling them that they are the best that they can be. And ensuring that we speak to our children we don't speak over them, but we speak rather to them. This will later on allow them to have very good communication skills, because they will be able to communicate with other people without any issues. And then also, especially with married people or couples in their relationship, we often bring so much trauma, especially for the ones that were raised in a two-parent home. We bring so much trauma from how our parents used to communicate with each other, or how they were with each other, into our relationship. So one way we can break the cycle is by, you know, treating our spouses better than how we saw our parents being treated. I know it's easier said than done, but with therapy nowadays, it is a possibility. Communicating effectively with our spouses, even if it is hard. You know, the first step may seem hard, but as time goes by, it becomes much better. Talk to your spouse. Shutting down and not talking about the issue does not make it go away. It does not lessen the situation or make it smaller. So talk to your spouse. And, you know, also affirm your spouse, just like I was saying that children need to be affirmed. Your spouse also needs to be affirmed. So we often, we are raised in households, or we were raised in households where our parents never hugged us. They never told us they loved us. I do that with my kids, because I believe that they need to hear that they are loved every single day. They need to hear how much they mean to me. So tell your children how much you love them. Show them love. Express yourself like with your children. Yes.
Now that's I think that's a very good way of breaking the cycle right there, because surely in most of our African households, the issue of showing the emotional side and loving your children and talking to them and telling them how much they mean to you was never a thing. It was all about tough love, you know, tough love and a whole lot of tough love, and that way it traumatized a lot of people. So now I'm thinking now, this is breaking the cycle, but now looking at trauma now, it's a very, very personal thing, from what I'm getting, from what we're sharing right here, and being a very personal thing that happens to you, or that you could be harboring inside, I guess the issue of self-care now comes into play. It's a word also that is being thrown around a lot, especially on social media. So this self-care, Agnes, what does it play? What role does it play in healing from something like trauma?
No, self-care plays a very important role. Just taking time out, you know, for yourself, taking time out just to write down your thoughts. It doesn't need to be something fancy whereby you go to the spa, you are getting a massage. I mean, sometimes you may not have the funds for that, you know. not have the funds to go all out. Just a simple thing as, you know, sitting alone, especially for us that have kids, sitting alone, writing down your thoughts, just, you know, sitting with yourself, it's important. It's something that we are not accustomed to. You know, we always want to be in the rustle, like the hype in the noisy places. But sitting by yourself is also a form of self-care. You know, getting off social media. Social media can be very, very toxic. As much as it has made life easier and it has made life much better for all of us, it can also really break you and it can cause so much negativity in your life. Just taking a break from social media is also a form of self-care. It can be 24 hours, you know, you're just off social media. Rather take a book, read, get insightful information from this book. You know, social media is a busy place. There's always a lot happening. There's so much news. You know, your mind is filled with so much. And then, take a break from social media. It's a form of self-care. Gymming, going to the gym or even home gym, it's a form of self-care whereby you're taking care of your body, you're learning how to breathe properly, especially if you're the type of person whereby your trauma paralyzes you. You get to the point whereby you're having panic attacks when you're having these flashbacks. You learn how to inhale and exhale and breathe properly and just regulate your breathing and all these things. And then we go to the fancier parts where you go to the spa, you know, having where you're getting the massages and all those things. Yeah. So self-care is very crucial to having a better and healthier mindset, especially when it comes to the traumatic experiences that you've had.
Now that's important right there, and hopefully that, you know, people are taking the notes, you know, about self-care and how important it is to look after yourself. And I feel especially for mothers, you guys, you tend to look after everybody except for yourselves sometimes, and I'm hoping that at least you get to, you know, take time, you know, to just have to yourself. It's good to look after your kids. It's good to look after your family, but also try as much as you can to look after yourself. So in conclusion now, Agnes, what would you want to say to somebody who could be, you know, facing some kind of trauma? It could be big, it could be small, you know, or maybe someone have just discovered about this subject and they feel like, you know what, we need to hear more. Or maybe they now feel like, there's something, there are a lot of stuff that happened to us in our childhood, and we didn't realize it was trauma. What would you want to say to such people?
Okay, so all I'd want to say is, firstly, just know that you're not alone. There's just like you said, it's a broad subject. It's a very personal and it's a very deep subject. There's a lot of people that have experienced trauma, but they don't know how to go about it. They don't know how to seek help. So the first thing is to always, you know, seek help with whatever you're going through and with that, whatever situation has affected you. Seeking help does not make you a weak person. I know often in society, especially now, if you reach out for help or if you seek for help, you're considered as a weak person. No, actually, you're very strong. You're stronger than you can ever imagine. So seek help, be it in the form of a therapy. If you can't afford therapy, you can find a trusting friend or a family member that you could talk to and share your experiences with, especially if it's really, really deep. I know sometimes we don't, we often suffer with trust issues, but talking about your situation more than ever, it helps you. Talking and letting it out helps a lot. And coming from a spiritual side, always bring everything to God. Put everything at the cross. It makes it easier because I believe that there's a reason why we go through situations in our life. You go through a situation so that you can come out victorious, and that you can so that you can be a testament to others. So you can be a reason why somebody else comes out as well and speaks about their trauma. So just grab on to the Lord, seek Him. Even through your traumatic experiences, seek Him and hold on to Him. Yes, that's all that I can say.
Seek the Lord and hold on to Him. The powerful words coming through from Miss Agnes right there, and hopefully that you are heeding the call. So, which leads me, Agnes, to thank you so much for such a beautiful, beautiful lesson, and giving us so much insight as far as the issue of trauma is concerned. So I guess in conclusion, I'm going to have to ask you to pray for us and pray for those who could be facing different traumatic situations. Some who probably didn't realize what was wrong with them, only to realize that it's an issue of childhood trauma, and so many, you know, parents trying to, you know, find their way out of, not just parents, I think people in general, trying to find their way out of the different traumatic situations that they grew up in, that has been embedded in them. And now they're trying to find the light and trying to find themselves and try to, you know, do all kinds of things, be it finding love, be it trying to fit into society in general. I don't know if you can just put these different people into the hands of the Lord.
Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of mercy this evening to magnify, glorify, and praise your name. Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you that the first blessing that you've given us this day, Heavenly Father, was the blessing of waking up. Father, we hold on to you, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for this opportunity, for this meeting that we just had, Heavenly Father, where we were able to speak about a topic, Heavenly Father, that is so deep, and a topic, Heavenly Father, that is affecting so many lives and so many people. Father, at this point in time, I just remember each and every person, each and every situation that they may be going through, Heavenly Father, whatever trauma they may have experienced or are currently experiencing that is causing them, Heavenly Father, to hold back and not to flourish in whatever you have set out for them to do. I pray that may you heal their hearts, Heavenly Father, that may you be, Heavenly Father, a shoulder for them, Heavenly Father, to lean on. Father, I pray for anybody that is listening around that, Heavenly Father, may you comfort their hearts. May you give them a form of comfort. And Heavenly Father, may you remove any anxiety, Heavenly Father, anything that stops them, Heavenly Father, from walking in the purpose that you set out for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for putting your words in our mouths, Heavenly Father. We thank you for guiding us. And we thank you that, Heavenly Father, we can come to you freely and we can call upon your name. We pray, Heavenly Father, that may you be with us now. Cover us with the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let me take this opportunity to thank you, Agnes, for taking your time to come through to the weekend chapter.
And I just like to thank you also for having me. It was a very great experience indeed.
Wow. Hopefully that this is not the last time you're going to be joining us, and you should continue to come and give us more insights on the station.
No, definitely it's not the last. I would love to come again. Thank you.
All right. So that was the lady Agnes. She's based in Namibia, and she's been giving us some powerful insights as far as the issue of trauma is concerned. So stay with us right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media, as we continue with the Weekend Chapter.
You are listening to the Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.